نحمد و نصلي و نسلم على رسول الكريم ما بعد. Tonight being the first of the odd nights, and obviously we're not used to the new routine, so inshallah we'll keep the program a bit shorter. We are weak. We have hope that Allah Ta'ala will overlook our weaknesses and accept whatever weak effort we make, inshallah. But inshallah, in this session, we want to try and make an effort to discuss some points so that we can develop the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally, you find that when a person has got a passion for something, then that passion becomes a driving force. It becomes a driving force for the person to achieve his goal, to achieve his objective. I remember some years back, you know, when we were younger, there was a particular neighbor of ours that wanted to take part in the Comrades Marathon. So this particular brother, probably 6 months before the marathon had taken place, he decided he wanted to take part in the marathon. So I remember people would be going for Fajr, but this Muslim brother would be running on the road, you know. Inshallah, he probably read his Fajr earlier, but he was on the road, you know, to make sure. And I still remember he started off with a few kilometers, and then he built up, and he built up, reached 5, then from 5, 10, then from 10, 15, and so on. But he made sure that he woke up early, and he hit the road, if we may say. And winter in the Johannesburg region is very cold, but despite the cold, he would be at that time on the road, running on the road, braving the cold. What was that? What was it that was driving the person to do that? It was that passion that the person wanted to achieve his objective and his goal. And this is something that sometimes is the missing ingredient in our acts of worship and our daily life, that passion and that love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it hasn't yet reached the desired level. And hence we find that we don't really have that kind of a passion, for example, to wake up for the Fajr Salah. So the person says, Murisab, I can't wake up for the Fajr Salah. But yet you find the same person, if he had booked a ticket, and it was an early flight, and he had to be at the airport 3 o'clock in the morning, then you'll see the person will make some plan, some arrangement. He'll tell the neighbor, he'll tell the uncle, he'll tell, just phone, make sure, double check that I'm awake, so that I make it and I don't miss the flight. So the person understands the importance of that flight. In the same way, the person who has got real muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got love for Allah, then that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the person vigilant, will make the person, you know, I cannot do anything, you know, to disturb this love that I have for Allah ta'ala, that I must not upset my beloved Allah. That if my Allah has been so kind to me, how can I, you know, violate any command of His? As they say, you know, modesty, the person has got that level of modesty. And Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءِ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. That what is the real modesty is that the person, he develops this kayfiyat and this condition, that my Allah must not see me in any place or in any activity that He has prohibited me from. That I should not be engaging in any activity that Allah has prohibited from. So to develop this muhabbat and this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is desired. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran and Majeed, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That the believers have got intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intense mahabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the kind of love that is required, the verse of the Quran in Majid, Allah ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ. It's a lengthy verse. But Allah ta'ala says that if, you know, your parents or your wives or your children or your businesses or your homes or whatever it is, if these are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul and striving in the path of Allah, then wait for the punishment of Allah to come. So from this also we understand that the love of Allah and His Rasul has to be dominant. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib used to say 51%. At least 51% you need. Allah have mercy on them, they made it so easy for us. They didn't say you have to have 99%. They said even 51%. So it doesn't mean now, look at Shariat is so balanced also. Our deen of Islam is a balanced deen. It doesn't mean now the person must not love his wife and his children and his car and his business. That is natural, the person will have muhabbat for his children and his home. But he should make sure that the love of Allah is to dominate. Now how do we measure that? So we measure that is that at the time when, for example, the wife or the children are inviting one to engage in an activity that violates the command of Allah and His Rasul. Now the person says no. That Allah Ta'ala's command is this, and therefore I will fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, just on this point also, we all have to understand relationships. We have to understand relationships also. It doesn't mean now the person has to, become very harsh and hard in doing this. In fact, at that time, you know, when the television was as it was, now it's on the cell phones and all of that, but that time the television was a thing. They said that if the wife is asking for the television to be in the house, and now if you say, no, it's haram, and how are you asking me to do that, and never do that, and finish. Don't ever ask again or else you. So he used to say that, rather buy the wife something even more expensive, whether it's a ring. If the television costs 2,000-3,000 rand or 5,000 rand or 10,000 rand. So buy the ring that is even a little more expensive than that. Even if it's a few hundred rands more. And tell her, so in that way you do not break that relationship of muhabbat between yourself and the family. So look at how cognizant they were also of maintaining the relationship. Some people, they have this misunderstanding that if you make an effort to, obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it means you must destroy everything else. You know, you mustn't worry about the relation of anyone else. You must just uphold the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, it's a lack of understanding. Like often you will find people will say, you must speak the haqq. Speak the haqq no matter what. We speak the haqq, finish. So one of our students, he mentioned to us, but Mawlana, haqq is haqq and you have to say haqq. So then I explained to the person that you have to understand also that you have to develop a relationship with the person. So he wasn't understanding. So then Allah Ta'ala put this example in the mind. I said that, if you have an apple and you try to feed a little infant that entire apple at one go, what's going to happen to that? Even if you take a massive piece chunk and put it in the baby's mouth, what's going to happen? The baby will choke and forget choking, that the child may even pass away in the process. So there's nothing wrong with the apple. But the infant doesn't have the capacity to digest the food. In fact, that apple has to be softened up. It's got to sometimes even be made into a little paste, and then you feed that same apple. So now you make that apple palatable for the infant. So we have to also understand that not everyone is in a position to accept haqq. Haqq is haqq. We don't deny that. But not everyone has got the capacity to accept the haqq. The other day one person sent me a message that, Morana, I put on this group about some event that was taking place, whatever it was, and expressed my disgust about it. And then instead on the group, people started defending and, attacking, and I'm feeling so disturbed about the whole thing. And I explained to them that you have to understand that on these groups, these social media groups, there are so many people on the group, half of them we don't even know who they are. We don't even have a relationship with that person. When you are inviting someone towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to first develop a relationship with that person. Once you develop a relationship with the person, you understand the person's capacity to digest. as in the example that we mentioned, you understand the person's capacity to digest, then in accordance to that, you then put forward the advice. Otherwise, it can have the opposite effect. As the Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that once he was traveling on the train, and he saw one person with his trousers below the ankles. We know the hadith, ma asfala min al ka'bain min al izar fin nar. That portion beneath the ankles will be in the fire of Jahannam. So he felt it necessary to mention it. He may have been in his younger days, earlier days. So he said, I told this person that you need to pick up your pants. It's below your ankles. So he said, for what? For what must I pick up my pants? So he said, it comes in a hadith sharif. And he quoted the whole hadith. He said, this person turned around and swore the hadith. He swore the hadith. The Tanvir Rahmatullah says, I learned such an important lesson that I thought I'm giving the person advice and bringing the person closer to deen. But my advice became a means for that person going out of the fold of Islam. So I explained to this person that sometimes we put these messages on these groups, it's counterproductive, and sometimes it has the complete opposite effect. The complete opposite effect. So therefore, we need to understand everything in its correct context. So coming back to this aspect of maintaining a relationship, that now we want to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we, there is now this challenge between the wife or between the child or between whatever your person loves. But the person says that I have to maintain the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not give in. And then the person also is cognizant of the relationship that he or she has with this individual and also tries to maintain it in a different way, so that that relationship is also maintained. So therefore, we'll share one simple little activity that we could engage in that inshallah can develop the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll share the advice that we heard. As a Mu'ayyin Sahib rahmatullahi advising. So there was a doctor that came from Johannesburg, and he had developed a relationship with Maulana. He said, Maulana, give me a very easy prescription to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Maulana told him that, see, Dr. Saab, you have to go for salah every day. So what you do, you try and be in the masjid at the time of Adhan. Try and be in the masjid at the time of Adhan. And then perform your sunnats after the Adhan. After the sunnahs, you will have about 5 to 7 minutes before the salah commences. Just make some muraqabah, do some contemplation. Think about all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala upon you. From the time you were born, different bounties that Allah has blessed you with. And of course, the reality is, if we count the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, we can never come to an end. Allah Ta'ala says it in the Quran Majeed, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to count even one bounty of Allah, you will not never be able to encompass it. Take one eye. Just the one eye. How many things in your life have you seen with that one eye? How much of benefit have you derived just with the one eye? How much of information you have gathered just with that one eye? So the person will never be able to come to an end. Ponder over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even you just start with that day, that particular day, I woke up today, alhamdulillah, I had a wonderful sleep. There was no issue at home. There was no load shedding. South Africa where we say no load shedding, no water shedding, nothing. So even that too, the person makes shukr. Like Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, you know, that time when cars were being stolen, and it still gets stolen, but there was a period where it was quite intense. So Maulana used to say that one of the greatest moments of shukr is when the person comes out of the shopping center and he still finds his car parked in its place. So if the person ponders over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just pondering over the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, this will develop that feeling of shukr in the heart. And how fortunate I am. You know, you count your blessings. And that will create a feeling, a sense of shukr, a sense of gratitude, a sense of contentment, which are wonderful qualities. Otherwise, if a person is always looking at what everyone else got, the person bought a brand new car, brand new, is driving that car, and now that car company, you know, it's the second week that car company released a newer spec, or maybe the same car, but it's got a upgraded paint, you know. Now the person is driving that car, is looking at that one. Oh, that thing looks nice, man. So now what's happening? He's focusing on that and he's not appreciating what he's got. He's not contented. In fact, he's the poorest of persons. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look at those beneath you. Don't look at those above you. When it comes to dunya, look at those beneath you, don't look at those above you. But when it comes to akhirat, when it comes to deen, then look at those above you, don't look at those below you. No, at least I'm reading two rakats a day, two salahs a day. That brother, he only reads one. You should rather look at those who are reading all their five daily salahs. So in any case, the person now, Hazrat told him, ponder over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, just take a fleeting glance over the sins that you committed in your life. Obviously, why fleeting glance? Don't go too much into the sin, because you must know that in every sin there is a temptation. A person would never have committed a sin if there wasn't a temptation, right? So there is definitely a temptation in the sin. And when you're going to delve too much into a past sin, there is the possibility and the potential that you can get attracted again. You can get tempted again. So just take a fleeting glance over the sins. And now you just thought over about the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala upon you, and you thought about your sins. Naturally, a feeling of regret and remorse will be created in the heart. And how could I have done such a thing? When Allah has been so kind on the one hand, and I did these things, you know. How could I have done these things? So that feeling of regret that comes in the heart is the very essence of tawbah. It's the very essence of repentance. Where the person feels regret over his sins. And as I said, that when the person makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala loves the one who makes tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah Ta'ala loves the one who makes tawbah. And when Allah Ta'ala loves someone, that person inshallah automatically will begin loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, this is a very easy way to develop the muhabbat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, inshallah we can try, you know, allocate some time during our day. If it's not every salah, but maybe perhaps even one salah or some time during the day, where we just sit and contemplate and make muraqabah over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over our sins, and feel that regret and remorse, inshallah, this will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will develop the love of Allah ta'ala. That look at how kind my Allah is. That despite all my sins, despite all my deficiencies, despite all my negligence, Allah has still been so kind to me. What a kind Allah it is. What a loving Allah. What a caring Allah. What a tolerant Allah. And that will bring and will develop and engender the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us with his muhabbah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك أو كريم الله except يا الله whatever little effort we have made tonight يا الله we are extremely weak servants of yours يا الله all are these brothers يا الله some of whom يا الله had worked the entire day يا الله but oh Allah they still sat for this program يا الله this is a clear sign يا الله that they want your forgiveness they want your rahmah they want your mercy يا الله Oh Allah, do not deprive us of your rahmah and your mercy, Ya Allah. Overlook our weaknesses, Ya Allah. Overlook our sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are that being who is oft forgiving. You love to forgive, Ya Allah. So forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, our near and dear ones who have left this world. Whether it is our parents, our mashayikh, our apas, Ya Allah. Our family members, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill the graves with nur, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan bin riyadil jannah. Allah, I see there are so many brothers and sisters who have requested us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. And there are so many people who we should be making dua for, Ya Allah. Allah, fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Bless them with afiyat in this dunya and akhirah, Ya Allah. O Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill all their good desires and aspirations. Whatever hardship, challenge, difficulty they are going through, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.